Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I am your host, Valerie. Let's get on the playground this week. I have to tell you, friends, I need something of a boost of commiseration this week. We are learning hard lessons as we grow. And, you know, as we do, we can be proud of each and every milestone. So let's give ourselves some extra playtime this week for each and every effort that we make to grow up into our purpose and increase our capacities and spirit. And, you know, who's here to help us? Thank you so, so much, BBS, for being right here with us today. What would we do without you and without you rooting for us? And we love you so, so much, BBS. So let's jump right in, friends, with something of an idea from the last age of Christ and something that he said that is still it's a lot misunderstood, translated in all kind of crazy ways. And that's okay. We will work a little bit of it out together. But before we start, I just want to share something of a very difficult kind of an afternoon that I have had, friends. And getting ready for my show, I have been inundated with just highly unpleasant tasks that I have had to take care of. And one of those being, unfortunately, a task with plumbing problems, right? So we all know that that is never, never fun. And it reminds me of something my father always used to tell us when I was younger. Now, my father is a military man, or he was a military man before he passed on. But he spent the last couple of years of my high school age as a minister. And so he got out of the military and spent some time, the last part of his life, as a minister. And my father would give the most beautiful sermons. They were so, so beautiful. And it was fairly mesmerizing to listen to a man that I had grown up with be such a different kind of projection of himself, standing there in the pulpit delivering such inspirational and extraordinary sermons that were so heartfelt. And as a man, he had his own difficulties and he had struggles on a daily basis. And it always made me wonder how he could stand in front of a congregation and deliver the most uplifting and inspired and soulful kinds of messages. And he would tell us, you know, it's not me standing there of my own volition offering these words of inspiration to the congregation. It's not me doing it. It is Christ through me. It is Christ through me, a willing vessel, doing the good work that needs to be done. And that just has stayed with me. And so, friends, I am walking out of plumbing issues up to my eyeballs, and I am going to just try to offer myself some grace and accept that encouragement that my father would give, and just say, if we can, being here together, please know that we are all in this boat together, and we are all needing each other's counsel, and we will just let Christ offer that assistance any old time he wants to come through, any old time that he wants to move through me. I am at his pleasure to do so, and very gratified to be of service. And so that's the way we'll look at it as we work together to grow in our wisdom, like we have decided we want to do with our time together. And we will invite the Christ in all of us to come forward and commune with us and be with us and inspire the things that we share together. Which leads me into the quote of the day, okay? And it starts with something we think that we understand, and maybe some of us do. But it's this tried and true quote that folks like to say: "Gird your loins with great strength so that the robbers will not find a way to get to you. For the advantage for which you look, they will find." Okay, so that's sort of Christ's private conversation, some of the stuff that he shared with Thomas, and because he had Thomas's love and attention and affection and understanding and willingness to, to offer himself as a springboard for Christ. And that was an important thing, and it wasn't always readily available. And so we're grateful for each and every inspired kind of conversation that we can glean out of those kinds of memorable exchanges. And so that is something of the quote that we're going to work with today. It's what Christ shared, and it's not an easy lesson necessarily, because a lot of the information kind of moves around in different directions. But I want to draw from it, if you will let me, in a very general way. A way that will move us forward to understanding what our role can be in such a quote, right? In our day and age, which is not so very different from how it used to be, quite honestly. But that's for a different time. So let's draw from this quote: "Gird your loins with great strength so that the robbers will not find a way to get to you. For the advantage for which you look, they will find." Okay, they will find. Okay. It's generally the Greek words are generally about what it is to tuck in your shirts and get ready for a heavy lift or a difficult task that needs to be performed. And even with respect to freedoms of the age, it's about being ready for, a violent assault on our sovereignty. And in this case, with regard to Christ's intention, with respect to our spiritual sovereignty, okay? And more generally, it means, get yourself physically able to handle the job ahead of you. Right, to defend against what would defeat your spirit, to do the job of protecting your sovereign spirit. And when a knight girdled his loins, Okay. He put on what's called the centerpiece of his armor, the girdle of his armor. And it's actually the piece that holds the other pieces in place, if you can kind of imagine that, right? And so if you can imagine the expectation that goes into putting on these pieces of armor, then it helps us in our preparation in the idea of girding our loins. And so, what kind of preparation are we talking about? Well, in modern terms, we're talking about what is left when everything else is taken from us in a corrupted society. Right? What is left when the car is repossessed, right? Or when we lose our home, when loved ones pass on from toxic shots, as it were, or when elections are stolen, or when children are trafficked across the globe, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can go on and on. Our eternal souls and the practices that protect us energetically or spiritually in the physical world we live in is, in the end, all we have to enforce the liberties of our domain as sovereign spirits. Okay, does that make sense, friends? And if we lose those self-protections, then we really are victims of whatever dark scheme arises against us, right? We're talking about being ready to protect our eternal spark, so to speak, when the world takes everything else away, and often violently. What must we command to assure our sovereign spirit isn't all so compromised? So, what is it we must command to ensure the ascendancy of our spirit? So, imagine that we must be in possession of weapons of some sort to protect us, right? The spirit that is unified and can be nurtured and in the flow of source creation, as would be the children of God. And I want to take that idea in a particular direction, okay? And say that if we boil all of this down from a conversation that has been translated ad nauseum, it's the thing now to do with apocryphal and ancient kinds of texts. To translate it all down, and everybody gets a piece of what they think is going on. Could we just, you know, pull an idea in that is so general that it is undeniable? And that's the idea of finding our alignment, okay? Our energetic alignment. Now, most translations are not going to go there. They're not going to tell you that Christ talked about energy alignment because most folks don't even understand most of what Christ ever said. But I can assure you that it all goes back to the energy of our true essence, really, and the alignment that we need to maintain the flow and a unified flow in alignment with our source energy, threaded in the experience of what it is to flow with source in a physical kind of duality. Which was at the time and has never been easy, given the human condition that we just seem to find ourselves in age after age after age. But we're talking about energetic alignment, okay? We're talking about things needed to be prepared in our defense against the violence of a ruling darkness, which is a very real thing for us now. It was a very real thing for us then. It's actually always been a very, very real thing for us, okay? And that means foundationally that we need alignment of the self that lives in the environment of a duality of the physical body, right? Which has to choose wisely not to act in the interests of a dark polarity, okay? It has to be intentional, these tools that we have, right? It is a body that must be stripped of attachments to an unconscious human condition, or else be drawn in and undermined, right? Or assaulted by the quote unquote robbers of our dualistic natures. Okay, we're just going to boil it all down. I don't want to throw too many words at you, but in trying to boil it down and just choose those words that could add the fullest meaning, we might ask then, what are these weapons that we really have to have that a dark world would take from us if it could? What are those advantages that would be taken, that are searched for, and that would be taken even from the best of us, friends, even from the best of us? Well, we find them, believe it or not, fairly well defined in quantum mechanics. And there are three tools or three things that we can point to in quantum mechanics as we think of girding our loins with protections that we need to protect our sovereign spirit, okay? Our sovereign spirit. Three things that define the quantum experience of this realm of reality, okay? We're talking about what our energy body has to do to align with the shared energy field around us, okay? Correlation, control, and stability of our energies. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Those are the tools that we're talking about. Okay, that is alignment in our energetic or spiritual world. Okay, girding our loins is the effort undertaken to be aligned in correlation with source energies all around us, okay? In control of how we apply our energy, and with a stability in our practices so that we can create predictable outcomes. Okay, does that make sense, friends? And we'll talk about these three things, okay? One at a time. As we take a look at what it means to be aligned, to be centered in our beingness, to gird our loins, as it were, roll up our sleeves, okay? The idea being to be centered and unmovable, or unfazable, or steadfast, unshakable in our true essence, that essence that cannot be disrupted in its expression of source identity. Okay? And we only need to look at Christ to understand, as an example of what we're talking about, Christ as an unmovable force. Okay, friends, he was unmovable in his resolve, completely focused, completely measured. And he was blamed all the time for it. He still is blamed, friends. Okay? He still is blamed for a singular focus that saves us every time. Okay? That saves us all. And the truth is, in our journey toward our wisdom this year, we really need to consider the idea that our beingness is in motion. Okay? Our beingness is in motion. It's a vibration. Okay? Beingness as motion is a micro level experience. Okay? It is energy ever moving in the quantum, ever moving and ever ready. It is never motionless in this particular reality. And even when we're still and we're quiet, we are in energetics, okay? And stabilizing that motion often requires slowing that motion down. It's why sitting down and being still, right? Why we get quiet is to balance the motion of our energies, right? To allow them to align. Okay? Beingness is in motion. It's why we get still. Suffice to say, girding our loins means that alignment is a practice, right? And how is that so? Because our physical, mental, spiritual balance, it's not a sentiment. Okay, focus is not a feeling, friends. Okay, we don't just wake up in the morning and say, I hope today's a good day. There's intention required that prompts action and enables alignment much of the time, right? Intentions are not contemplated, they are engaged, friends. They're acted upon. We talk about this all of the time, and it bears repeating every single time that we possibly can. Let's talk about that. So I'm going to quote here for a minute, okay? I'm going to quote here for a minute. So here goes. In quantum mechanics, alignment refers to the specific orientation, correlation, or phase coherence of a quantum state, representing order and synchronicity within a quantum system. Okay, so rather than being random or asynchronous or external to the system we're in, we are all in a specific orientation that requires coherence or a flow of wave function, right? That moves particles into waves that create reality for us. And we are all in this big ocean together, okay? In spiritual terms, we experience alignment as a coherence and energy flow. Like I said, waves in the energetic ocean, right? They are maintained in the quantum field, in our balance and harmony and peace, in our conscious awareness as part of the unified field of consciousness that we're in, right? As part of the Christ consciousness surrounding us, between us, through us, within us, okay? We can't leave that system in our physicality, right? As living physicality. But we can affect it, and we do with everything that we do, right? Do we see that? We affect it because we are beingness in motion, each of us together, energetically. Okay, does that make sense? When we consider that our quantum experience is like an echo, right? It rings back what we yell out, so to speak. doesn't it make sense that controlling our energy going out is the best way to control the ripples that come back in? Right? And how do we do that? Well, we keep what would rob us of the echo at bay. Right? We orient our energy to support a quantum experience where intentions, guided by action, manifests our desired outcomes. And this is called in many ancient spiritual circles as right action, right? Essentially, it's the secret to regaining control over our co-creation powers. And so we might ask, control from what? Well, let's get back to Christ's quote. It's about the robbers Christ talked about. Gird your loins with great strength so that the robbers will not find a way to get to you. And here's the thing. The robbers are as much about self-sabotage as anything. Right? Robbers are things that steal our peace, our balance, our harmony, our tether to source, our connection with our true essence. And, we know very well that we can do that just as well as any outside dark force can do it. Right? So, what robs us, friends? And how can we be so easily undermined when we take our eyes off the ball, right, so to speak? Is it possible that we are continually undermined in a rubber band experience of zigzagging through our day with ups and downs and emotions and flux and surprises catching us off guard? And, at every turn, we lose our energetic control. That sovereign spirit is out there, for up for grabs, so to speak. Does that make sense? Why are we not able to experience alignment that is in correlation with source energies all around us at any given time and in control of how we apply our energy and with stability in our practices so that we create predictable outcomes? In other words, are we actively tucking in our shirts and rolling up our sleeves and intentionally creating an environment of alignment? Or are we just sort of mulling it over or aware of the idea? Or maybe we understand what we're talking about conceptually and not necessarily preparing for it in an orderly fashion. We're not prepared for the things that will come our way to knock us out of alignment, right? If we're not ready for it. So let's break this down together. Do we have dreams of beautiful things, friends, but we just aren't correlating them with energies around us to harmonize the way we experience our reality? If we intend an outcome or envision a manifesting or dream a dream, are we correlating our desires with the degree of alignment that it takes to energize those outcomes, right? And that's the question. Are we correlating our efforts in alignment with the outcomes that we would choose for ourselves? Are we deciding where the right energy is for us, its right action attached to that, and how it should feel for us to know when we're aligned with our interests or our goals or our relationships or our intentions? Do we get close to the prize and drop the ball? Do we get flustered or panic or become fearful or preoccupied and lose alignment? do we lose sight of a beautiful opportunity just as it unfolds? Right? Just as it unfolds. Are we sidetracked or knocked off course or distracted? Right? And why is that the case? Is it because we are not controlling the nature of our experiences? Are we not controlling how we apply our energy? To what end? And are we course correcting ourselves when we move out of alignment? Right? Or do we find ourselves on an emotional slippery slope and we just sort of keep sliding and we talk about that slippery slope? And do we just keep sliding without course correcting? You know? And why course correct after all? Well, aren't we looking for stability that lets us build a foundation of beingness that is consistent and credible and dependable and true? Right? So what is stability again? Well, it's knowing where the bottom is, friends. And leveling up and leveling out so that behaviors and responses are predictable and consistent and natural. And here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. Stability is not the result of planning to do something, right? Planning to do breathing exercises or watching a video where somebody else performs a walking meditation. Right? Or reading a book on manifesting a better life. Okay? Those are all wonderful things to do as enrichment activities for certain. Okay? But that's not the stability we're looking for. That's not the activation we're looking for. It's about action or activation as a way of engaging our intentions, okay, in the present moment. How do we think and feel and act all in a consistent manner in the same direction? It's about dedication and determination and vision that creates habit. Right? It's about second chances for sure, grace and gratitude and consistent effort. And it's about baby steps, when you think about it, that guide us into conscious awareness, that helps us measure our course. Right? It's about managing the subconscious suitcases we talk about when old traumas come up and beliefs arise, right? And emotions kind of zigzag a rubber band experience all over the place. It's about the course correction we always talk about as the tool of choice for experiencing alignment, right? And I'm recently, very recently reminded that forgiveness figures in there too, right? As an act, as an activation, abundant forgiveness for ourselves, which is hard for a lot of us, right? Making friends with our own measures of imperfection, that's grace, friends. Grace is forgiveness freely given without measure or expectation. Just like unconditional love is love freely given, both are competencies we need for any kind of sustained alignment in a physical body that's sort of forgotten its perfection. And until we remember, we got to offer what is unseen, and that is the promise of our perfection, right? Alignment needs that kind of remembrance or resonance. Does that make sense, friends? Alignment is about developing enough consistency through correlation, through control, through stability of our energy, to enable the extinction of things that no longer serve us, right? In favor of what brings us peace and offers it to others. Does that make sense? We become energy that binds and not divides. And we are what harmonizes instead of destabilizes, right? We are what expands instead of collapses. You remember we talked about that last week. So I can imagine we're feeling maybe a little bit overtaxed by something of a laundry list here of do's and don'ts on alignment. And maybe we can prefer to understand it as walking our walk, right? Less talking and more walking. Does that make sense, friends? And something we need to know, alignment is not just about us and what we do internally. Okay? It's not just an internal energy flow that we're training to move throughout our body, right up and down the spine and integrating those the mind and the heart space, right? Those points of energy within the body. It's not just about what is internal, right? It's not just about what we want and how to manifest that. Alignment is about everything and everyone else around us. Alignment is about the harmony of our energy flow in a shared field of agreed upon reality. That's what expands our reality instead of collapses it, friends. You know, what is within is also without. That which is without is within, right? It is hermetics at work, friends, natural law. So don't we want to harmonize as we sort of ripple through the ocean of energy, as we call it? You know, we refer to this ocean as the quantum field, each of us in the current. Don't we want to calm the seas around us rather than experiencing stormy kinds of currents that wash us away in different directions, right? And so a question might be, how do we stay internally aligned during these storms? Because storms will come, friends, right? And we know this to be true. Storms will come. And the question might be, why do we focus on action as a part of our beingness when it comes to alignment? And we're talking about what energy does at a micro level, after all, right? And we know that thinking and feeling and anticipating and dreaming are all activators of our intentions. And we know this. We talk about it all the time. It is important. So why are we trying to habitualize our beingness as a set of behaviors or practices, as it were? Why am I trying to get us to see that, to take a look at that? And it's a great question. And in the Tao, there's a saying that it's easy to be in harmony during times of calmness, but true mastery is to find tranquility in times of chaos. So we're talking about being ready to manage what alignment looks like when things go sideways, right? When the unexpected happens and we're prepared with only what we've crafted as natural competencies that keep us from unconscious reactions and unpredictable emotions and unpracticed behaviors, so that we don't, lose it, so to speak, it at every turn when things go differently than somehow we predict or expect. And so the question is, will we take that deep breath? Will we pause? Right? Will we sit down and get still? Will we delay instead of rush into something? Can we respond instead of react? Will we use our energetic tools when we may need them the most? And what is the critical element that might determine how aligned we can remain during difficult times? Well, a Taoist answer would be learning how to avoid resisting what is in the moment. So the idea of allowing without resistance. And this is sort of the beautiful circle of practice that takes us back to our beingness, right? When we put in the work and integrate our true selves with aligned behaviors, then we can retain our beingness in times of trouble. In other words, we can rest in who we are at our core, because our actions won't deceive us, right? Does that make sense? Our behaviors won't undermine us, and we're free to reside in our full being without proving it with doing, right? And in fact, learning to align in stressful situations a lot of the times means doing less, right? Pausing instead of talking, breathing in instead of blowing out, getting still instead of walking the floor, maybe. We can do less if we are prepared for more. We can be secure in our beingness when we are prepared with the doing of alignment. Does that make sense, friends? So we're on a journey into wisdom together, and we're reminded of truths along the way that we can test with our experience and our values and know by our practices, right? And we can know that alignment means that things are easy. And this is a truth, friends. There is no resistance in alignment. There's no holding on. There's no forcing. There's no pushing. And it's a cosmic truth, actually, that what is right is easy for the spirit. In other words, right action arises effortlessly when aligned with the spirit. And it's here where, our most authentic selves lie, right? It's where we can see ourselves most clearly. We're not trying to catch up or not trying to be left, we're not being left behind. We're not forcing or overcompensating or doubting or searching or overindulging, right? What is right is easy. And this premise is maybe my most difficult teacher. If it is right, it will come rightly. It will come easy. And we have a hard time with the idea, in large part because we're trying to live up to what we perceive as another person's expectations, or maybe we're molding ourselves into unnatural situations, or, We're immersing ourselves in inauthentic kinds of identities, maybe to fit in or find belonging or reach a goal of some sort, when what is easy is the path of alignment, right? And when we're aligned together, then things come together. And it's because we're navigating, the currents and the calm in much the same fashion. We experience disappointment like we do success because we know there's really no difference as a matter of releasing and allowing and accepting. Right? It's not an easy lesson to learn, friends. It bears a great deal of repetition and it's hard to get comfortable with, isn't it? So hard to get comfortable with. But we build a contentment a little bit at a time as we sort of row our boats, across life's ocean, I guess. And folks jump in with us and they jump out and, we keep rowing. And we release and we allow and we align and we love no matter what. And then what comes, comes, and what goes, goes, and what shines is what shines, and then there's what snows, right? And I don't really think it's all that easy, but. Insanity is always an option, though, right? And there's suffering that we would avoid by sort of toeing the line that is alignment. If we could learn how it's a work in progress, and that's all right. And speaking of work in progress. We know that aligning what comes up from the dusty suitcases that we store in our subconscious is a really important thing. We talk about it all the time, right? So, do we want to end our time together doing a Dixit card together? Let's do a Dixit card since it's been a while. A Dixit card is. It's a symbolic illustration of a scene, and our job is to, interpret the scene as we imagine it to unfold in our mind's eye, right? In our imagination as it is coming to life in our mind's eye. And we don't fight what we feel. Or what we imagine, because we're dealing with thoughts that, come up from the unconscious mind. We may not even know that they're there, right? Until we experience them, by consciously becoming aware of them through creative exercises like Dixit cards that invite subconscious ideas sort of out into the open for us to observe. Not necessarily to judge, but to observe and to understand and to begin to extinguish if we choose to. Does that make sense, friends? So let's do a Dixit card. Many of us like to use our notebooks to record our responses and maybe offer some opportunity for some reflection as we go through our week. It's super fun, right, to give ourselves something to meditate on during our week, but that part's up to you. So let me describe the scene that we will paint in our minds today, okay? And remember, we're just observers of what comes up for us to look at, right? We don't really want to judge or reject anything, okay? We're just creating the picture that comes into focus for us, right? We're watching to see what we can see. Okay? So let's get ready now to sort of get this scene into our minds, and I'll describe it for us. Okay? Don't hold anything back. Allow what flows to flow. Okay, observe any and everything going on in the scene. Watch for changes. How are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's happening? Right? So in the scene, there is a white picket fence. And that fence runs a long distance along a road into a town. Into a town. And you are walking along that white picket fence heading into town. Okay? And along the way, there are a few holes in the fence, right? Holes big enough for you to get through. And these holes give you a chance at a shortcut into town if you choose to take it. So as you walk along the fence, you notice that the fence is actually a row of white dominoes lined up across the fields into town. White dominoes lined up across the fields into town. The holes are breaks in the dominoes where blocks are teetering and ready to fall over, barely holding on to each other. And as you choose your path, you may decide to walk between the teetering blocks for a shortcut. Or you may decide to follow the outside of the domino line all the way into town. You must decide how to navigate the path that becomes increasingly tasking on your body. And as you decide, you start to feel the shaking of dominoes in line next to you as you are walking side by side with this line of huge dominoes, right? That are less and less steady as you follow the steps upward. And each break in the dominoes is a more dangerous shortcut the closer you get to your destination. And you look around for alternatives, and you think you may have found one. So if you have discovered an alternative to your current path, observe closely how the alternative unfolds as a solution. Observe your choice and your behavior and your expectation. How are you feeling? How are you moving along your path? What are you thinking right about now? If the dominoes meant something to you in life right now, if those dominoes meant something to you, what would they mean? What would they mean? And feel free to allow the very first thing that comes to mind to enter into your observation. What would the dominoes represent? What would the path represent if you applied it to your life right now? And how hard is it to climb the steps you're on as you follow the fencing upward? Where exactly are you going? Where is this town in your mind? Are you struggling to reach it? And think about What clothes you might have on? What shoes do you have on? And take a minute more to notice the scene as fully as you can. And notice anything peculiar that might be in the scene or might have just popped up in the scene. So now, friends, the good work is yours this week to sit with your scene and think about the subconscious nature of thoughts and ideas and feelings that might have arisen from our activity together. Are there worries that arose? Are there fears? Are there solutions that you created? Alternatives that came to mind? Just a few things to think about as we uncover a little more the things hiding in our subconscious suitcases. And I'm so glad you joined me in that activity, and I hope it rings thoughtful reflection this week. And you never know, your mind may keep working on the scene, right? And other things too might pop up for you to think about. Things that you may not have considered may come to mind, and you may wish to observe them. You may build a fuller picture as your subconscious continues to fuel the activity that you just participated in. There may be things to learn, friends, and maybe even things to remember if you're inclined. And so it's time for us to part, if you can believe it. The time has gone so quickly. And I'm so grateful that we spent time together today. And I'm so glad that you joined me, and I'm hopeful that the message that we shared has relevance and has an opportunity to assist you in your week as we think about alignment and think about our beingness as also an expression of movement, of energies that can perform great things for us and our intentions if we can create enough habit around how to respond in our daily life to things that are unexpected and difficulties that come up. And hopefully, our meditation on alignment is helpful. And so, friends, it's time for me to go, and I am so grateful to have been here with you. I can't wait to be back with you next week. And BBS, as always, thank you so much for your help, and we love you so much. Thank you for your time and guidance. And so, friends, until next time.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.